Paranormal Radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, I have to tell you that on the previous episode of the Paracast, a great session we had with Joshua P. Warren about doing paranormal research on the cheap, we ran into an issue with Chris's network connection in the final hour of the show, where he had to switch from Skype, which is what we use for networking, to a landline phone. Now, I have to tell you, so far, I've been talking to Chris prior to starting the show for about 2 or 3 minutes. He sounds perfect. He sounds completely normal. No strange weather in your whereabouts, right?
No.
Okay. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful this is going to work out.
Me too. Well, you know, it's just one of those tricksterish kind of moments there.
We've had that happen on the Paracast through 5.5 years. Occasionally, we'd lose a connection when we talk about something that's critical, you know, about a paranormal or UFO event. Suddenly, something happens. Now, I have to tell you that the Skype technique is flaky. Skype is not a robust business class tool. It's designed for people just to talk back and forth. It's not designed to be used for radio shows, although it is used for radio shows. Even TV shows use it now. Here's someone on the Skype connection. It's almost always distorted. The pictures look horrible, but you figure the technology is still developing. So there you go. But then this is GarageBand radio here, network radio. We record
in
the garage.
I'm a Pro Tools kind of guy there, Gene. I'm a Pro Tools kind of guy.
Well, I'm not using that. I'm using Peak Pro from Bias. Okay, from
well, you mentioned GarageBand. That's the consumer-grade recording platform. Pro Tools is the way to go.
It's like GarageBands, you know, after all. You know, back in the old days of rock and roll, you had these little one-hit wonder bands. They do a recording in their garage. They'd send it to a record company. They get it released. They might actually sell a million or two, and then you never heard from them again.
Right. One-hit wonders.
Yeah, of course, that was the theme of the movie The Thing You Do that Tom Hanks directed and starred in, where you actually had a band called The Wonders, signifying they were one-hit wonders. But what we really want to talk about before we get into our main guest, Grant Cameron, about presidents and UFOs and what they might know and what they might not know is the point of evidence. A big portion of our discussion with Joshua P. Warren and previously with Micah Hanks is evidence, accumulating evidence, validating evidence, what evidence exists for paranormal events. And as we take this, we're not far off from the release of President Obama's birth certificate. Now, understand he's probably the first president in the United States who was ever asked to produce a birth certificate. So the original one was this computerized sheet of paper that most of us get. You have your birth certificate, don't you, Chris?
I have a copy of it, yeah.
Okay, so that's the kind of birth certificate. It's a computerized entry indicates that you were born on such and such a date in such a city, right?
Yeah. Did you know, Gene, the one that they released was an unflattened Photoshop job.
Oh, really?
With layers. Yeah.
Let me explain what's going on here. So the reporters are given a copy. We assume a scan of the original. And then what do they do? Well, if you want to have it on your website or in print, you then scan that document. And when you scan the document, you're going to do some image editing because you want it to look good on the screen or in print, so you enhance it. You enhance it in Photoshop. So, yeah, there might be layers, and layers in Photoshop means, of course, that you can have different portions of your image in different, like different pieces of paper being placed one atop another. And that allows you to edit each element of an image better. Now, normally, before you actually print it, you do something called flattening. We're almost sounding like the tech show here, you know. You flatten the image, which is you bring all those disparate parts together. Okay. So supposedly someone looks at the image on the website.
And they download it, and it's an unflattened Photoshop image. Each of the elements, each of the lines of the document have their own layer, and it's obviously been manipulated according to this YouTube video I just got about halfway through before we started the show. It's astonishing. What a Homer Simpson moment, whoever was responsible for allowing that to happen.
Well, we assume then that was part of the pre-press or pre-production process for the website, for the newspaper, to prepare the image to present. Now, understand, it's perfectly normal to basically take images, whether they are documents or photos, and manipulate them. That's normal. But sometimes you're clumsy. You should flatten the image. You flatten the image, by the way, also to make it smaller in size so it doesn't take so long to download. Somebody was just careless in the editing process. That's all.
Well, and they left all sorts of fingerprints all over the document, meaning at least, you know, I have not really done a lot of research into this. It literally was what I was doing when you called. And I'm going to have to check this out because if it's true, it is the ultimate Homer Simpson moment in government. I mean, what an oversight to not flatten a fabricated document if that's what it turns out to be. And boy, I'll tell you, I don't think we've heard the last of this story if this is true.
Yes, but the question is here, was that done, that lack of flattening of the Photoshop image, was it done by the White House because they're not photo imaging experts, or was it done by the publication that actually scanned the image for pre-press or publication?
We're going to have to do a little digging on that. there's a pretty interesting thread that's just developing now on forums.theparacast.com that is addressing this issue.
What's interesting about it is, of course, evidence and conspiracy theories. What sort of evidence meets the standard before you accept something is true? I mean, you can do this with anything, and especially if there is a translation process of scanning and rescanning, you know there's going to be loss in the original compared to the printed copy. You know they have to do some kind of manipulation, like a movie star. You see them in a publicity photo, all the little zits on their face, all the wrinkles and creases, they're photoshopped out. It's not what they really look like. I mean, you take a fashion magazine, tell me that every model with a perfect complexion actually has that in real life.
Yeah, well, I've actually done that a few times myself. I was caught some basic photo retouching techniques from an ex-Dugal engineer who, you know, that was his job, is getting clients from fashion magazines in the fashion industry and then making the models look the best that they could look and you know, on the printed page. And some of the tricks that they use are pretty amazing. I had a metaphysical yoga video that I was designing the cover for, and it was, you know, a good looking woman in her mid 60s, and I took about 20 years off her, and boy, I'll tell you, she really liked me.
Well, of course, you sometimes go watch these TV commercials for people who do some kind of plastic surgery service, or perhaps they're offering some kind of medication to improve your complexion, get rid of wrinkles. You just know that what you're seeing there has been manipulated in Photoshop. It's not real. Yeah. It's never that good. And also, you have to look at now, we have high-definition TV where everybody's blemish or imperfection is front and center. So what do? They have soft lighting, soft focus on the cameras, things to make you look better, special makeup techniques to allow you to look your best when you're being exposed for everyone to see. Because nobody in real life looks the same way as in that picture-perfect photo. In the old days, of course, they actually used, like, inks and pens.
Well, in gauze. They would put a thin layer of gauze over the lens. Now, that softened the image back in the 30s. Some of those close-up shots of the Scarlet is all kind of hazy and sort of dreamlike. That's because they would actually put thin weave gauze over the lens.
My first wife, Geneva, and her mother used to do photo retouching. We're talking about taking real negatives and actually doing physical manipulation to retouch them the old-fashioned way, 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 way before we had Photoshop and anything like that. Well, today, the show is not going to be about something, whether it's live or Memorex. It's going to be, what do the presidents of the United States know or not know about UFOs? And the answer, we hope, will come from Grant Cameron.
This is going to be a good one.
Our co-host is Chris O'Brien, here on his network connection, which we hope lasts. And don't forget to write us, news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. I'm Gene Steinberg. I hope I last. You're in
the Paracast.
All Are you ready
to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt.
Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We're going to explore what the presidents of the United States knew about UFOs, what they didn't know, and what they did with that knowledge. And we have Grant Cameron, and he has a site called presidentialufo.com. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in the Paracast. Welcome to the Paracast, Grant.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you on. And before we start any other discussions, in checking your website, you recently did a review of the book from John Alexander, UFOs, Myths, Conspiracies, and Realities. We had Dr. Alexander on the Paracast just a few weeks ago. So I'm really curious about your insights, and take your time, tell us what you liked or maybe didn't like about his book, Grant.
I heard the show with John. I've heard, I try to listen to everything that he says. He's a key player, has been at it since 1947, so you got to respect, I've been at it for 35 years, he's been in it for over 60. I think he believes what he's saying. I think he says some very important things in the book that I agree with. One of them being that in ufology, we sort of take ourselves a little bit too seriously. We think that everybody in the world sees the issue as importantly as we do, and in reality, nobody really cares. And when it comes to the government, the vast majority of the people in the government really aren't interested in what's going on. Now, he says really nobody. There's individual people interested and no institutional interest, which I disagree with. But I agree with him in the fact that it really is not that big an issue outside of the UFO community as it is inside the UFO community. He makes some points that I also agree with in terms of the fact that the issue when it comes to disclosure, and I wrote an article, at one time it was called The 64 Reasons Why the Government Has Decided Not to Tell You What's Going On. And one of the reasons that John agrees with that he brought up was the fact that this is a toxic to politicians, to science, to almost anybody who wants any credibility in their life. This is not an issue you want to touch. So I fully agree with John on those issues. My main disagreement, and the reason I wrote the article, and it's for sort of an extensive article, but I wanted to get everything in there and then let people sort of pick and choose. The main thing I disagree with John's argument is that he sort of cherry picks his evidence, that he makes a case. We're a person who wasn't into ufology, didn't know anything about ufology, and you read his, it's well written, it's well spaced, it's very concise. You would come to a conclusion that absolutely nothing to this at all, that it's all said and done, and half the evidence is missing. Anything that sort of gives credibility to the fact that there is a cop, that the government is doing something, that material is missing from the book. So that was the main reason, and the main thing I put on my article was to say, John's book, here's the other side of the story. If for people who are looking at this and who want to know what's going on, there's a bunch of material and a bunch of names and a bunch of stories that John has left out of his book for whatever reason. And if you see these stories and this evidence, you will see the field of ufology more balanced than the way John tells the story.
The obvious question that arises here, Grant, is was John unaware of this evidence or felt it had no authority?
Can you repeat that again?
Was John unaware of this evidence you say he didn't include, or maybe he didn't believe it? What's your take on that?
I think he believes what he's saying. I think he, my father filed for the Canadian government, and my father was sort of skeptical, knew all the stories, and sort of stayed on the skeptical side with me until he died. He was always playing the skeptic. I think John just likes to play that side of the thing. I think he believes what he's saying. I really don't know why he left out the stuff, especially the names of various people and some of the material that occurred inside the advanced theoretical group that he ran. And I got the notes, and John knows I have the notes from these meetings. Some of the material that was left out of there, I really don't know why he left it out. I don't think he's trying a disinformation guy. I think that's just the role he plays. You know, he's sort of the tough green beret guy, wears the sunglasses, and likes to play that role. I remember my father used to play that role, too.
Okay,
and
you were saying then when you play a role, Grant, when you play a role, that implies you're not being serious about it, that you don't really believe the role you're playing. You're acting. So he's just doing this because he wants to be controversial? It kind of contradicts saying, I believe it. If you believe something and then you play a role, that implies you're play acting, that it's not serious. So
okay,
explain
the
contradiction.
In a way, he's play acting. He knows some of the stories that he's left out. It's almost like in ufology today, there's this sort of a conservative bend to ufology. Nobody dare say the word ET. Nobody wants to say they know what's going on. everybody wants the game. Like, we really don't know what's going on. We've been working on this, but we think it's important for the government to us. We think that somebody should go and investigate it.
Well, you know what? I have to disagree with you there. There are some people in the UFO field who do say it is ET, and we kind of know where they're at and why they're here. So there are different factions in the UFO field. It's not just this and nothing else.
Okay, but the problem I have is when and I've done this for a number of years. I know a number of people to talk to in private, and we'll talk. And the minute they get on in front of radio or TV, then suddenly it's like the story completely changes. They're not talking. For example, when I was at the UFO conference to John Rayo, who ran the Congress, and I was talking to him about Alexander. I'd come to Alexander speak, and I was very interested in this. And he said, "Oh well, you know, John, he's the clock. When he's not on the clock, he's different." And that's something I've always found with people that I know, ufologists, main researchers, who are now saying, and I won't say who it was, a prominent researcher, when I put up my Hillary Clinton UFO website, told me, "You're ruining ufology. You shouldn't use the word extraterrestrial. The government doesn't like it. You shouldn't use the word alien because CNN won't cover the story." And I'm saying, this is absolute nonsense. You've got to go to a working theory. You've got to, you know, put out what you best think. If you had to make a bet on a roulette wheel, if you've got to make a bet, what's it going to be? And you work from that. You may be wrong, but you work from that. And what John is doing is the same sort of thing, is that he's afraid. He's upset about the fact that science won't take care of it. Government, everybody's laughing at us. And he's concerned about this reputation thing. So if we play it, downplay the ET part and the extraterrestrial part, maybe we'll get some congressmen who will step up there and say, "Well, we should look at the aviation safety," or something like this. And we're going to get UFOs to go in to the government through the back door, and the government's going to come out and make an evaluation, which is absolutely not going to happen, because if we, after 60 years, cannot come to a conclusion what's going on, the government, who can't decide to do anything, is not going to touch this issue and come up with a decision as to what is going on.
Okay, so Grant, so your basic position here is that John Alexander was being politically correct. He didn't want to upset people. He just wanted to get his basic points across, hoping then he would be better able to get people to take it seriously. And that you're also suggesting other people in the UFO field do the same thing. They downplay certain more extreme aspects of the phenomenon in the hope that somehow this will gain better acceptance. And once they get the door open, they can explore that stuff that might be way out there, more extreme, more eccentric. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. We'll get into more of that in a moment. We have Grant Cameron, and he has a website which is all about presidential UFOs, called presidentialufo.com. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors. Meetings are an essential part of any business. You know, making presentations to clients, collaborating with your colleagues. Well, make them as simple as possible to run and organize. Use GoToMeeting by Citrix, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. Meeting materials are viewed on everyone's screen, making collaboration seamless. GoToMeeting is so easy to use for you and everyone joining your meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you can for one flat rate. You have phone conferencing and voice over IP are included. You know, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST.
Reality check. There are many so-called health products coming out that are here today but will be gone tomorrow. They're fads, they're hype, and a lot of gimmick. Life Change Tea is no fad. We've been around for years and we've been slowly growing, and our products have attracted loyal customers. Why? Because our products work. Cleansing your body, losing weight, more energy, and better overall health. And you might ask, says who? Our customers say. A company shows its colors with how many people reorder the product. So don't be afraid. We're the real deal. Log on to GetTheTea.com and read all the testimonies. In fact, log on and order at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928- 928-0408. There's no call centers, just a friendly operator. 928-308-0408. Once again, 928-308-0408.
The U.S. economy is at a tipping point. 40 cents of every dollar the government spends is borrowed. The president of the Federal Reserve in Dallas was recently quoted saying, "This path will lead to insolvency, resulting in the collapse of our government and our economy. Our country can't function like this, and neither can your household. That's why you need to prepare, and priority one is your food supply. Fortunately, it's easy and affordable with the help of Ready Reserve Foods. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storable foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available with a 25-year shelf life. A full year supply of quality food for two people costs a fraction of what you pay at the grocery store. For a free, full-color catalog, call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Ready Reserve Foods, making preparedness simple since 1972.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
We return. We have Grant Cameron. We're exploring so-called presidential UFO issues. And we started on the Paracast with Gene and Chris talking about the book by Dr. John Alexander, someone who says he doesn't believe there is a conspiracy, and the opinion from Grant Cameron that that's just something in order to be politically correct. He didn't want to step on the wrong toes. Chris, you want to pick up on this?
Well, one of the things that you mentioned in your article, it is rather an extensive review of his book, and one of the things that kind of springs out is the section called The Missing Names. You do point out, I think, very effectively in this review that there are certain very important names that you would think, you would have thought that Alexander would have mentioned in his book. However, the names of James Woolsey and John Peterson and a very important name, in my opinion, is Ronald Pandolfi, are not mentioned in this particular book. And you would think with their very highly placed sort of insider knowledge about the subject, or you would assume they would have that knowledge, that these names would have at least been acknowledged and mentioned in the book. You want to talk about these missing individuals, especially Mr. Pandolfi?
Yeah, that sort of goes to sort of my history in ufology. I started out with a bunch of sightings, and I went from there to because I'd had the sightings, I knew there was a reality to it. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before in my life. So I really had never spent any time with sightings or that kind of stuff, because I always knew what I saw, and I was basically trying to find out what's the answer. Someone must know what I saw, what this phenomena was. And so I went from the sightings when nobody really, I put out a manuscript, nobody really cared. I went to the Canadian government to find out what the Canadian government did in the early years. And from there, we sort of ran into Dr. Eric Walker, who was a former president at Penn State University. And we believed he knew what was going on. We, for 8 years, a bunch of researchers chased him around, trying to find out what he was telling us about how the cover-up started and MJ-12 and all this kind of stuff. And he was going to leave his files with the president. And it was at that point I went to see what the presidents knew about UFOs. And when I went to, I tell the story where I go first to the Truman Library, then I go to the Eisenhower Library, and basically they've got, you know, 28 million pages of files, and there's nothing on UFOs. And I thought, well, this is very strange. So I spent maybe 10 or 12 years working on the presidents and sort of became very depressed because in the vast majority of libraries, there's really no UFO documents. You really can't tell what's going on, almost like the president is involved. At that point, I sort of gave up on the presidents and I started to get into this whole Avery thing. And I'd had interaction with these bird type people from the time that Bill Moore started this whole thing in the 1980s. And these are guys like Pandolfi, Kit Green, Hal Putoff, all these type of people. And I realized that these were people that Bill Moore had found and that these were people who had at some point in their life had some sort of classified interaction with the UFO phenomena or had classified background, who were interested in the phenomena. And I saw some emails. Was leaked some emails a number of years ago, these people interacting, and they were at a completely different level than you and I. They were talking about stuff, and it was for real, and it was like, man, these guys maybe know what's going on. And I tried to push, and in the end it came down to these guys know a lot more than you and I know, but they aren't going to tell us. It's like a second NJ-12. They may figure it out for themselves, but they're not going to tell anybody what's going on. They're just interested for their own personal sake. So I started to follow these people, and I knew that some of them, for example, Kit Green, who was the former, ran the Weird Desk at the CIA, and Ronald Pandolfi, who took over the Weird Desk, ran the CIA UFO stuff.
Excuse me, the Weird Desk, then, is a place where they look into crazy things. Weird things,
yeah,
unusual things.
I think they call it phenomenology. I think that's the term they use for it. UFOs, remote viewing, all the weird type things that the CIA might be working on, mind control, all the weird stuff. So the first one was Art Lundahl, who had run it in the 60s, 70s. He was very interested in UFOs, was involved with NICAP, and then it became Kit Green. And then Ronald Pandolfi took it over. Now, I don't know who's running it now, with Pandolfi still doing it. But a lot of these people have interacted with the UFO community. Lundahl is very famous, had a whole collection of correspondence with James McDonald, who was the prime UFO researcher in the 1960s from the University of Arizona. I saw his files, found this huge file of correspondence with Art Lundahl. So these people have all sort of been involved, and Kit Green was involved with Dr. Eric Walker. When we were working on the Dr. Eric Walker story, Bill Moore wanted to see whether Walker knew anything. So what he did was he called Kit Green in to go and visit Dr. Eric Walker, who was then very elderly and was professor emeritus at Penn State at the time, and went to see if he could get Walker to confirm whether we were just making blown smoke or whether Walker really knew what he was talking about. And Pandolfi is the most famous. Pandolfi is just putting out stuff left, right, and center, talking to different researchers. And in 1996, he was written up as the top scientist in the CIA, which always amazed me that he's talking about aliens, he's talking about all this weird stuff. And how does this guy get onto the internet and talk to people and put all this stuff out when he's a top scientist in the CIA? There must be something to this. And a couple of incidences actually came where, for example, Bob Emeniger, who was a prominent person who did the famous documentary in the 1970s, UFOs, Past, Present, Future, I'm at his house, and I'm going to the Clinton Library, I'm looking at the Clinton files. He lives in Arkansas. I go, and I always stop and see him for a couple of days. And I'm talking to him, and then he says, and he's been involved in UFOs since the 1970s, and he always was involved in the one case, the Holloman Air Force Base film and the documentary and stuff.
Yeah, we're going all over the place here, and I wanted to just focus on one thing that you mentioned. Bill Moore. Now, I first heard of Bill Moore when he co-authored a book on Roswell with the late Charles Berlitz, someone who was a friend of mine long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. Now, we also know that Bill Moore is the guy who said that he was involved in UFO disinformation. So why believe anything Bill Moore does or says?
Well, I knew Bill Moore fairly well. I dealt with Bill Moore, and Bill Moore got on the inside. And Bill Moore had, as you know, Bill Moore had a very big ego. And Bill Moore figured he could play the game. I remember he was being contacted. And I know the person, everybody assumed it was Richard Doty. And we said right from the word go, it wasn't Richard Doty. It was a guy from the Defense Intelligence Agency. And we knew some of the people Bill was dealing with. And I never knew Bill to lie. Bill was very arrogant. Bill was doing all sorts of stuff. And in fact, Bill Moore has now fingered Hynek as being part of the same group that was feeding stuff to Benowitz. So
okay, but now I want to get into some detail about the cast of characters here.
Because you have to realize that not everybody is into the Avery and Doty and all these figures. Maybe let's identify who these people are or were. We know who Bill Moore is. He was a UFO researcher. We know that he lost credibility when he admitted to being involved in disinformation. But maybe we can separate who is Rick Doty. We hear about Rick Doty. Who is Rick Doty? Who are all these strange figures who go in and out of the periphery of the UFO field?
Okay, the Avery is a group that Bill put together, and the reason they gave him bird names was that he and Jamie Chandray had the intelligence background. That's why Jamie Chandray got the UFO documents in his mailbox.
Okay, and he's the one who got the MJ-12 documents on film in his mailbox in the 1980s.
Yeah. And so he was working with Bill, and they had to have a way to talk. They talked in code, so they used these bird names to people that they had made contact. And so there was Richard Doty, who was one of them, who was contacting Bill, and he was one of the Avery, who was sort of a counterintelligence, was providing a lot of disinformation. There was Robert Collins, who
Robert
was the
Collins.
Condor.
Robert Collins was on the Paracast once, long, long ago.
Okay.
Maybe you heard the episode.
Okay. And he's not so much into the disinformation. He's more, can get a little bit, you know, with his weird, with his ideas and stuff. Wrote a book with Richard Doty. Is very seriously trying to figure out what's going on. Had a U.S. Air Force background at Wright-Patterson. Bill got in contact with him. Bill got in contact with Hal Puthoff. Bill got in contact, and Hal Puthoff runs the Advanced Institute in Austin. Very prominent guy who was head of the remote viewing program with another guy back in the 70s. Works now on Zero Point Energy. Very, very smart guy. Bill got in contact with Pandolfi, with Kit Green, who he said was the guy who dealt with the president. So Bill dealt with all these different people. And with Bill Coleman, Bill had a lot of contacts with different people. And basically he was trying to find out what everybody knew. And Bill was the smart guy, and he was going to figure his way and figure out how the whole thing worked and get
okay,
on
well,
the
we'll figure out more about how the whole thing works. Which can be a tongue twister. We have Grant Cameron. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. And the answer is, Ali C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali C.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
We return. The guest is Grant Cameron. PresidentialUFO.com is the site that has a lot of his research. We're exploring the Avery about the weird shenanigans of Rick Doty, Bill Moore, Robert Collins, and many others. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. You're still in the Paracast for quite a while yet to explore all this. Chris, you want to probe further?
Well, I think Grant was on a roll there. It's really important, as you pointed out, Gene, that the listeners have a good sense of who some of these shadowy figures, as you put it, that have been flitting in and out of the field for years, who they are, and what their possible agendas are. And it leads back to my initial question: is that there's some very important names in John Alexander's book that aren't mentioned. And Grant was in the middle of sort of giving us a blow-by-blow description of who some of these people are, like Ron Pandolfi, like Kit Green, others like Russell Targ and Hal Puthoff, of course, who ran the SRI remote viewing program in the 70s. You see the same kind of shadowy cast of characters from the late 70s all the way through the late 90s, that 20-year period. That's when a lot of this disinformation came out. That's when a lot of the memes that are now prevalent in culture, whether it's abductions, whether it's crash retrievals, these are, I think, emblematic of disinformation. And I think Grant's done a good job in digging into the facts, identifying the players, and coming up with documentation that that proves or disproves some very prevalent theories and prevalent beliefs that are out there in the UFO community. Why don't you continue? You were talking about...
Let me just add one. John Alexander was also one of the Avery that Bill was talking to. I would sort of disagree in this disinformation thing, that these guys, their main role is disinformation. I think their main role is that they're interested in figuring out what's going on, and that from time to time they put some of this stuff. I think, and from all the material I've seen, and I've followed the document thing from when MJ-12 document was first broken and stuff like that, I think the disinformation thing is overplayed. I think there is disinformation covering a story that is being leaked. For example, the MJ-12 documents come out, and the whole thing, almost like the Obama birth certificate, it just explodes, and everybody's, it's a hoax, and typewriters, and all this sort of stuff. And basically, the MJ-12 document was discounted. It was a hoax. Nothing to it. So Richard Doty goes off to be a police officer in New Mexico. Bill Moore quits in 1989 after the speech at Las Vegas. He leaves ufology, doesn't do anything in ufology. You would say, if it was disinformation, they've done the job, it's game over. So why, after 1989, did 4,000 more MJ-12 documents get released? Jack Vallée first is the one that brought this idea up, and it makes sense. We sort of overplay the fact. We think that we're so important that the U.S. government and whoever's in charge of this thing has to keep throwing us off the trail. The thing was dead in 1989 when Bill Moore left the MJ-12 document. Nobody believed anything. So why did they keep leaking documents into the UFO community? If disinformation is there, the game is over. It's dead. There's nothing more to do, and they keep leaking documents. So my contention is that it's not just to throw us, it's to throw us off, it's to burn Bill Moore, which is what they wanted to do, because Bill Moore had put out the Roswell book and you had to discredit him. The same as they went after Linda Howe because she put out The Strange Harvest, the Emmy Award-winning documentary on cattle mutilations. They went after Linda Howe, and what they were trying to do is discredit these top people who were starting to get credibility and at the same time leak the story of what's going on. There's no other explanation that I can see that explains why there's so many documents and why guys like Ronald Pendolfi are still putting material out. And if you take a look at it, it all links together. For example, I was telling this story. I'm at Bob Emmenegger's place, and he says, and he hasn't been involved in 30 years in ufology, and he says to me, he says, I got a phone call from Ronald Pendolfi. And I said, you got a phone call from Ronald Pendolfi? Are you sure? And he said, well, that's what I think it was. And he doesn't care about UFOs. He couldn't care less. He watches TV, comedy shows, and I said, well, why would Ronald Pendolfi phone you? And he said, oh, he wanted me to do something with this RAM project or whatever like this. And I'm going, like, this is bizarre. And then I'm talking to Dan Smith, because Dan Smith is the main guy that Ronald Pendolfi talks to put this stuff into the UFO committee. I'm talking to him, this was only a couple weeks ago, and I'm talking to him about when he first contacted Ronald Pendolfi in 1991. He says to me, he says, I contacted Ronald Pendolfi. I was given a name from NASA and from England, and they told me to contact this guy. I contacted him. I phoned him. Then Ronald Pendolfi phones me back. The next phone call, Ronald Pendolfi says, I'm going to Los Alamos to talk to the aliens. And Dan Smith goes, this is weird. So he phones Los Alamos to find out whether Ronald Pendolfi is going there to talk to aliens. And guess who they put on the phone? John Alexander. These names, they pop up and they just cross index each other, and they're all over the place all the time. So I said, I was shocked when he said Alexander was on the phone. I said, well, what did Alexander say? And he said, oh, yeah, he knew Pendolfi was coming. And I said, well, what happened then? And he said, well, the trip was canceled. And Pendolfi phoned me and said, I don't mind if you talk about me, but don't put me and the CIA in the same sentence. So this is the kind of stuff, like, if it's disinformation, it's game over. We are, as Jacques Vallée says, we are an insignificant part of society. There's only a couple of us working on documents. It's really not going anywhere. We're not influencing anybody. Why would they spend so much time trying to disinform people when nobody's really reading it anyway? I put this article about John Alexander on the Internet. I have not got one comment back yet. People, it's on there. Nobody really reads it. Nobody really reads what's in it. When Ronald Pendolfi makes a statement, and I had it out, and it came up on Coast to Coast when Smith was on there, Ronald Pendolfi stands up and says, in terms of the briefing of George Bush Jr., we tell the president what he needs to know and hope we don't have to put him down. And I put this up.
Wait a minute, my friend.
You put him down for his nap.
Tell him what he needs to know. Hope we don't have to put him down. What do you mean by putting him down?
He needs his nap.
That's what I said. I put that out. And then when Dan Smith was on Coast to Coast, I sent the question to George Knapp, and George asked the question that Dan Smith had put this on his blog site, that Pendolfi had told him this. And Dan said, Smith said, well, I don't remember him saying that. I can't believe I saw on my website, yes, but I can't remember writing this. So this comes out, and it's like nobody even pays attention to this. It's a To me, it was the most significant thing I'd ever heard, that the top scientist for the CIA says, we tell the president what he needs to know in terms of UFOs and hope we don't have to put him down. to me, that's significant. And nobody paid any attention. So if
they mean by putting him down, I mean shooting him?
Well, the obvious implication is keep your mouth shut or you're gone. That's the implication. I mean, we asked Dan Smith, and Dan Smith just talks about knowing the Kennedys and his implication that maybe it comes from the Kennedys or something. And there really nobody makes that connection, but it seems very apparent. And
well, how do we know there's a connection here, though?
How do you know? What do you mean?
How do we know that this means anything? It could be somebody just talking through their hat. How do we know that anything
exactly
that might have happened to a president of the United States is related to the phrase, put them down?
Exactly what I say. But what my point is that nobody paid any attention. When Ronald Pendolfi says this, and it's on a website, and it comes up on Coast to Coast, and it's in my article, in John Alexander's article, which has been on my website for a month, and thousands of people have read, nobody has come back and questioned, what is Pendolfi? Nobody's asked Pendolfi. Nobody's questioned the whole thing. It's like it just flies away, and nobody does anything about it. That's my point.
Nobody cares. Nobody believes it. Nobody cares.
So then why
well, that,
are they putting
that was
out 4,000 documents?
Sure. Beginning.
Why are they putting out 4,000 documents inside the UFO?
That's
page?
Why I wonder.
Nobody
okay.
cares.
But the point is, here, okay, you say 4,000 MJ-12 documents. That's more than Stanton Friedman claims, right?
Well Ryan and Bob Wood have...
Okay, so the Woods have cataloged 4,000.
They're receiving this material, yeah, from Tim Cooper. So why is this happening?
Well, that's the question you raised.
To me, it's more than disinformation.
You know, you're discounting the whole idea of disinformation. Fairly, I think you're kind of giving a blanket sort of discounting of it. What about the SERPO thing, the SERPO controversy that Collins and Doty and Victor Martinez and Dan Smith and others have been promoting? I mean, is that do you believe that science fiction scenario, or is it disinformation?
It's hidden. There is material hidden inside the disinformation. That's the way you put it out. If you take a look in my article, I quote Kit Green. Now, Kit Green is one of the Avery guys who really is not the type of guy who's making up stuff. I mean, Kit Green is a pretty level-headed guy who is very interested in the phenomena and stuff like that. And Kit Green, when he's interviewed by these guys who do the Mirage Men, the book, he talks about this. And he basically says, well, you know, don't discount the whole thing. And he goes through this whole scenario about if the government knew what was going on and they needed to tell the people for whatever reason, how would they go about doing it? And that's where this scenario comes, that you put out a bunch of disinformation. No, there are no legitimate documents. They're all phony documents. But you're actually telling something that's going on. And the main example that I can give you two examples. So give me the first one.
I'll tell you what, let's hold the examples for a second.
Okay.
We've got to do the break. We have Grant Cameron. The site is presidentialufo.com. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien, and you're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.